Welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's Political Commentary.
With Rod Oram this morning. Kia ora, Rod. How are you?
Oh, kia ora, Rachel. Very well, thank you.
Good to chat with you today about local and international politics going on. Let's start with local government elections, which is actually just around the corner now. And we've seen some, I guess, big changes in the last few days to the mayoral race here in Auckland. Leo Molloy has pulled out right before, I guess, the official nominations ended. What's this going to do to the polls for our other candidates? Do you have any predictions around that?
Molloy dropping out was very helpful to the centre-right because it does bring it down to Brown and Beck, who offer a very contrasting style. So Brown has a track record of being very successful in business, fixing big projects and all the rest, but not particularly relatable to. Beck is probably more relatable to, but doesn't have his depth of experience. So it's a bit of a dilemma for people who are inclined to vote on the right. But it does clarify things over there. Quite how that plays out for Collins remains to be seen. It's hard to imagine that there were many Molloy voters who would have gone over to him. However, there is a possibility that he would come across for some voters as kind of a compromise in some way between Brown and Beck on the right, in terms of being more relatable to, at least having experience in council.
For sure. There's been some other interesting, I guess, conversations across the country that we've been seeing happen about some of the candidates for the local boards. There's been quite a big push from the Voices for Freedom movement, who are, you know, very much behind the big protest in Pōneke earlier in the year, to get people on these local boards. This has been talked about a little bit. Have you been following this at all? Do you have any sort of concerns around what this could mean for local government?
I have, because local government is quite easily manipulated. I don't mean that in kind of beyond the bounds of law or whatever, but in terms of there is real power there, and I think it's possible for strong people to have an impact, and therefore, if any of these candidates came through as very effective, they got elected and came through as very effective, and rather than just sort of bludgeon people into things, try to work and push in some ways towards the agenda they want, I think they'd be quite successful. However, there is another interesting thing going on in the nominations for local government, and I'm seeing it particularly here in Auckland, where I've looked at it most closely, is there are a good deal more young candidates this year. And I think that's very exciting. And I hope that that's a pattern elsewhere around the country. I mean, at least know of some in places like Hamilton and Kapiti, which where young voters are maybe well motivated because of young candidates. And we've got two excellent young candidates, one in Kapiti and one in Hamilton, who have already got one term in council already, so they're coming back for they're seeking re-election. I take that as a very positive sign, and it would be a fascinating counterbalance to those people who have very staunch and, I would argue, sort of unrealistic views about what on earth is going on in the country.
Yes, it's definitely a year, if ever there was one, to properly research the candidates before you vote, I think would be important.
A very good idea. And yes. I'm glad that it's now out there, I thought there are some of these candidates, and the idea that they could have got elected without being identified or raising their true beliefs, I think that has been very useful to at least put that in front of voters who will now push for clarity.
Yes, absolutely. Well, let's move over to the UK. Last time we spoke with you, we were talking about the race for Prime Minister over there and also leader of the Conservative Party as well. It's between Liz Truss and Rishi Sunak. What's actually going on over there at the moment? Got any updates on that situation for us?
Yep, it's pretty much time for the votes to start coming in. It's a postal ballot. of party members, and I'm afraid I'm not sure the exact date that we're expecting a result to come through. Truss is, by all accounts, the leading candidate, but there's a bit of a backlash developing, where Conservative Party members are beginning to raise their voice. Some of them have raised their voices about actually being unhappy with both of them, but those are the two choices that really do they've got. I think that's an interesting dynamic. It won't change the result. All the money's on Truss at this point. Mm-hmm. And so all the focus is now switching to what her challenges are, which are absolutely enormous. And she's trying to launch into government or running the government with no extra money, but then to spare, but then promising tax cuts. There's a huge energy shock. She's saying she wouldn't freeze energy prices, but she's got to come through with some kind of package for many, many households. There's high inflation, rising interest rates, and a huge number of issues across the economy are from years and years and years of neglect of investment and damage done by bad policy. So she has an extraordinarily difficult challenge there.
There's been some interesting discussion about both candidates, I guess, and their politics within the Conservative ideology being quite right-wing even within that house. Liz Truss, it seems to be, of the two, is even more so leaning into that right of the right. What would be, I guess, your thoughts around that? Because we've seen her say some kind of inflammatory stuff about, you know, making strike action illegal, which Rishi Sunak has also said. This has been widely picked up by the union movement, which we're going to talk about in a moment. But do you have any concerns about, I guess, the hardlineness or the perceived hardline of her politics?
Oh, it's not perceived, it's real. And she is also a fierce pragmatist in ways that she likes to liken herself to being Thatcher's heir. That's true in part, but not in some important ways. So it's true that she is very right-wing. She is very laissez-faire, like Thatcher. But unlike Thatcher, who really stuck to her convictions and pushed them hard and got quite a long way because of her determination, Truss is very quick to drop positions that no longer serve her purpose. Mm-hmm. I think that's going to be a weakness for her. But all the same, in pursuit of her agenda, and she's made it very clear. I mean, there was a fascinating situation a few days back where there was a leaked a tape of a conversation she was having where she was being very disparaging about UK workers and how lazy they were and all the rest. And she was one of the co-authors of a book about the future of Britain with other young Tory leaders talking about, and there was a chapter there about British workers being the worst idlers in the world. When she was confronted with that, she said, well, and that's all right, Dominic Raab wrote that chapter, I didn't write that chapter, and yet the authors had committed to collective responsibility for what was being written. So that gives you an idea of what she truly believes, but how she also is quite adept at wiggling out of, or trying to wiggle out of positions right. that then become very uncomfortable.
Mm. Well, let's talk about the workers and the workers' movement. That's quite an interesting, I guess, other side to the politics that's happening in the UK at the moment. We've seen quite amazing movements from the Rail Workers' Union in particular, and from the leadership of Mick Lynch, who's become quite a sort of lightning rod for left-wing politics in that part of the world at the moment. What have been some of your observations about this? Because it seems from an outside perspective, at least, like there is perhaps potential for this to be quite a pushback against the Conservative agenda.
Yes, and it's been fascinating to watch Lynch over recent months, and we were commenting on him some months ago, being an extraordinary communicator in terms of being very clear and just being able to phrase things in a way that carry great weight. I think this is an extraordinary time for the unions because they've gone through decades of decline and enormous political and economic pressure on them. And now we've got two candidates for Tory leadership who both are promising to be very draconian on unions. So this would seem, well, maybe this is the end of unions if they're going to be essentially become disempowered by the next Tory leader. But at the same time, thanks in part to Lynch, but some other new generation union leaders are gaining a lot more public sympathy, and they are talking really good economic sense. So, for example, the TUC, the Trade Union Congress, a little while back brought out a study showing that, yes, indeed, worker productivity in the UK was lower than elsewhere in Europe, but British workers worked 2.5 weeks a year longer than the EU average, a couple of hours a week. Yeah, and that's because of very low investment by British business, by government. Over decades, that's the cause of the low productivity amongst British workers. And Truss in particular says, you know, the rest of Britain should be like London. And indeed, London, the productivity rate is 50% higher than the national average, but that's because successive governments over many decades have pursued the financialization of the economy. And that's all about the City of London. But then with Brexit and the Johnson government and the previous Tory leaders pushing for Brexit, knocked the stuffing out of the city by taking the UK out of the EU. So I think this is it was that stupid. And British banks are really struggling. They're having to build operations in the EU to be able to continue the business. But the City of London's lost a lot of that power. So we've got this extraordinary moment, I think, where a whole bunch of very adverse trends that have been surging through the economy for decades. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying decades. I mean, I'm in New Zealand now for 25 years. But all these situations are very live. And I was a journalist when Thatcher was dealing with miners back in the early 80s. And so the mid-80s. And this is, I think this is going to be the next few years is where a lot of these issues finally come to a head. But my money would be on some kind of resurgence. I have no idea how strong of the union movement. You can detect the public are expressing more support of them in the face of these issues.
Well, it's going to be fascinating to see how it plays out over the next few months. Thank you so much for your time this morning, Rod Oram. It's always great to hear your thoughts. Have a great rest of your week and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Rachel. See you. Bye.
You just heard a bit of political commentary
with Rod